Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Fitzgerald and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
O God, the fountain of wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we ask you to guide and bless our senators, representatives, and staff in the Montana Legislature, that they may enact such laws as shall please you, to the glory of your name and the welfare of your people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 98 members are present. Representatives Weatherwax and Grief are excused.
Quorum is present. The House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Tenenbaum.
Mr. Speaker, may I be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction?
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I hope we can all be on our best behavior today because my parents are here. Could I get a warm welcome for my mom, Ellen, and my dad, Bernie?
Welcome to the House. Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe off the record now, the journal for something you should do, Mr. Speaker.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, 15 years ago in our legislative services, we had a great hire down there, and it was Sonia Nowakowski, who many of us know. And Sonia's leaving us. That's the sad part. She's leaving legislative services, but the good news is she's only moving two blocks away over to the DEQ. So Director Darlington's gain is our loss, but it's she's not going too far. And Mr. Speaker, I'd ask you and other members of the body owe her a great debt of thanks and could stop down and tell her thanks for her service to the state, but we expect her to continue, Mr. Speaker.
We'll definitely get that done. Thank you, Representative. Representative Fitzgerald.
Mr. Speaker, may I be off the record now the journal for an announcement?
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are all invited tonight to the Montana National Guard Legislative Reception, and there will be presentation of the prestigious First Montana Volunteer Award to an honored senator and representative of the 67th Legislature, and also they will award the Guardian of the Guard Award to a former legislator. Tonight, Wednesday, 5 o'clock, Jorgensen's. Be there.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction?
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, one of our pages today, Caitlin Rook. Her dad is in the audience, Jim Rook. Welcome.
Welcome to the House. Order of business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Human Services. Recommend that Senate Bill 357 be concurred and as amended. Signed, Representative Dennis Lenz, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Taxation. Recommend that Senate Bill 263 be concurred in. Signed, Representative Becky Beard, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number three, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number four, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills, House joint resolutions are on this day, read three several times, concurred in title and history, agreed to, and are herewith returned to the House. House Bill 300, Schillinger, 302, Kazmaier, House Joint Resolution 8, Garner. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills, House joint resolutions are on this day, read three several times, concurred in as amended, title and history, agreed to, and are herewith returned to the House for concurrence and Senate amendments. House Bill 276, Cafaro, 365, Trevis, 423, Lenz, 449, Garner, 462, Stromswold, 479, Sullivan, 502, Trevis, 539, Usher. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills were not concurred in on third reading, and the bills are herewith returned to the House. House Bill 476, Whitman. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the House amendments to the following Senate bills were concurred in on third reading. Senate Bill 106, Sales, 163, Glim, 309, Sales. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 5, message from the Governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolutions 40 and 41 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the committee resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Cheetah, Chair of the Committee of the Whole for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. Members, please remember to log in on Zoom and virtual vote console with your RSA token. If we do not see a vote on the board, you will be recognized. Once recognized, you may unmute and vote or voice your vote. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration House Bill 63. The clerk will read the title of the bill. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 60, Senate Amendments to House Bill 63. What is your pleasure, Representative Dooling?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Amendments to House Bill 63, it recommend the same be not concurred in. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the House. Same song, second verse, a little louder. You get the idea. Once again, House Bill 63 is the Auditor's General Housekeeping Bill. Every session, agencies present us with bills to make modifications and updates to MCA that affects their business. House Bill 63 left the House 100-0, and then the bill received an amendment in the Senate that was outside the scope and relevance of a normal housekeeping bill. While I like the amendment, the housekeeping bill is not necessarily the appropriate boat in which to attach the amendment. Let my experience be a reminder to all legislators and everyone working to pass laws, we all need to be diligent and follow up on our bills as they move through the bill process. Members, please vote green. Do not concur so House Bill 63 can go to conference committee for further discussion and modification. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the bill carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Dooling that when this committee does rise report after having had in consideration Senate Bill 63 that recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the bill will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes? Pardon me. I need to clarify. Senate amendments to House Bill 63. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted aye. 97 members have voted aye. 3 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 63 have been concurred in on second reading. Have not been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 178. What's your pleasure, Representative Beattie?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 178, that it recommends the same be not concurred in.
Representative Beattie.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, House Bill 178 is a minor cleanup bill related to the County Veteran Service Office program, and it passed the House unanimously. In the Senate, a two-year sunset was opposed upon the two statutes that are within the bill, and this would have two deleterious effects on the County Veteran Service Office program. First, the sunsets will effectively remove the authorization for our county to have a veteran service office, which would threaten the status of offices already in existence. And I seriously doubt that the senators had this in mind when they amended the bill, and if in conference committee that could be made clear. The second effect would be to terminate a modest grant program that is in place to encourage other counties to do the work that otherwise would fall upon the state's regional veteran service offices. Essentially, the small grant program encourages counties to put their money to bring their money to the table. The cumulative effect of the Senate's amendment would be to discourage the creation of county veteran service offices and thus reduce the availability of services that our veterans have earned. I urge you to vote green so that this issue can be worked out in conference committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, would the bill sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Beattie that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 178, that it recommend the same be not concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Senate amendments to House Bill 178 have not been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 555. What is your pleasure, Representative Matt Regeer?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 555, that it recommend do not concur, Mr. Chair.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Members of the committee, just got the numbers, inflation numbers wrong here. We need the committee there to adjust them. Thanks.
Is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion with the bill, sponsor wishes to close. Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Matt Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 555, recommend that the same be not concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 67 representatives have voted aye. 33 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 555 have not been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 164. Clerk, read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 164, introduced by Glim, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Non-Degradation Standards for Nitrates in a Groundwater Mixing Zone, increasing the maximum concentration of nitrates allowed from certain discharge sources and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Fielder?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 164, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Representative Fielder.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 164 is a very simple bill. It sets a nitrate standard for a conventional and a level 2 septic system at the same discharge level of 7.5 parts per million at the end of an appropriate mixing zone. Now, it occurred to me that maybe not everybody in here realizes what a septic system is, because you might be hooked up to a sewer system and you might not understand it. So in a septic system out in the yard, you've got a collection system there and a bunch of laterals. So the effluent goes into essentially the palm of my hand there, and then it filters out into the laterals. Now, these laterals are buried no more than about 3 feet deep, with the idea that a lot of the effluent that goes out into those laterals is going to evaporate out and go into the mixing zone area. Now, the mixing zone area extends out beyond those laterals. So there's a system here. It's called a level 2 septic system, where it treats it an awful lot more than just a conventional system that we have always had in the past. This level 2 system adds about $10,000 to the cost of a septic system. So in many ways, this is an affordable housing bill. But basically, after it gets out of the laterals, it goes into what's identified as the mixing zone. And that is the area extending away from the ends of the laterals until it is no longer mixing into the ground anymore. It's either evaporated out or it's already seeped into the ground. So this basically says that at the end or the edge of the perimeter of that mixing zone, whether it's a level two septic system or a conventional septic system, the parts per million of nitrates is 7.5 parts per million. So it's the same number at the end of the mixing zone, regardless of what kind of a system it goes through. Now, example, drinking water, the requirement is it can't be any higher than 10 parts per million in bottled water. Hot dogs, about 200 parts per million of nitrates. So when we fertilize our lawns, we're putting nitrogen fertilizers on our lawns. So this basically establishes that the rate, which used to be 5 parts per million for a conventional mixing zone, is now the same as if it was a level 2 mixing zone at the edge of the mixing zone, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, would the bill carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Fielder that when this committee does rise report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 164, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 48 representatives have voted aye. 52 have voted no.
Senate Bill 164 has not been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 165. Clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 165, introduced by Glim, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising laws related to subdivision sanitation review, limiting the regulation of individual sewage facility impacts to surface water to a distance of 500 feet or less away from the state surface waters, revising subdivision exemptions and amending sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Gunderson?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 165, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Gunderson.
SB 165 will improve the DEQ review process for the people of Montana by saving a lot of time, money, and aggravation. 165 is an affordable housing bill just for that reason. Time and money savings make projects more affordable. 165 promotes the goal that the governor ran on his campaign, in which he wanted to make the DEQ process more user-friendly, take less time, and reduce aggravation. The purpose of 165 is to make the DEQ process less expensive, more efficient, less arbitrary, simpler, and take less time. The DEQ process right now is too long, expensive, arduous, confusing, and frustrating for the people of the state of Montana. Consultants, engineers, and the public are extremely frustrated with the DEQ review process. DEQ is currently requiring complicated lot layout plans at subdivision submittal time that are premature. This situation has the potential to cause liability for all involved. DEQ does not have consistency between reviewers on rule and law interpretation, and 165 will help correct that problem. 165 includes common sense revisions to the Montana statute that will address some of the concerns with the DEQ process. If 165 becomes law, regulations will be streamlined and reduced with no negative impacts to the environment. By reducing and streamlining regulations, affordable housing will be promoted. Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, would the bill carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Gunderson that when this committee does rise and report after having entered into consideration Senate Bill 165, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 51 representatives have voted aye. 49 have voted no.
Senate Bill 165 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 172. Clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 172, introduced by Howard, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising emergency and disaster laws, prohibiting discriminatory action by the government, providing for civil relief, providing definitions, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Galloway?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 172, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, it's a good bill brought to us by a good senator. We had a good hearing on it. Basically, on page 2, we ensure the continuity of religious services as essential services to the welfare of the people of the state. On page 3, it's just inputting that they need to, if they're going to limit religious services, except the religious organizations may be required to comply with neutral, healthy, health, safety, and occupancy requirements that are applicable to all organizations or businesses providing essential services, and do not impose a substantial burden on religious services, unless, in this instance, the burden is necessary to further a compelling government interest and is in the least restrictive means of furthering that interest. So what we're asking here is that we protect our God-given rights. In a handout we had, churches are essential to the spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being of populace, especially during emergencies. The right to the free exercise of a religion is a fundamental right enshrined in the Bill of Rights. The religion clauses of the First Amendment provide that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In the past here, we've just recently experienced where that religious organizations were not treated fairly, and I think this bill addresses that. It still gives them the freedom to when they absolutely can't meet, but it also holds up that they can't be imposed any more stricter than it is on businesses. With that, I'll sit for proponents and opponents.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Representative Funk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I really don't know whether to be more angry or more sad about this bill. It does hurt my heart. Is this state really so broken that we as a governmental body have to make a law to say that having faith is essential? I think we all know that. However we express it, I think we all know that. And I think however we express it in this body, faith is something inside of us, and we take care of each other in this state. No matter how much we may disagree sometimes, we take care of each other, and we all have that faith. And I know this to be true because the people in this body, in this building, who have reached out to me, even if we don't always agree on things we're voting for, but the people that have reached out to me with my mom's passing have shown such some compassion and kindness, and that's who we are. We don't need a bill saying that we have faith. And during the COVID, it was tough. We wanted to do all kinds of things we couldn't do. But churches really, or in all sorts of places of faith, really reached out. And my mom, whose church was a distance and she didn't get to go very often, during COVID, she got to go every Sunday morning. And she could go at 9 o'clock if she wanted, or she could go at 11 o'clock because they put it on Zoom. And that's something that we all learned. And they reached out, and people reached out more during COVID than I think they do in normal times. And so this hurts me that we're having to make a law to say that having a faith, we have to tell people of Montana that, you know, just in case you don't know it, we don't live by bread alone. I believe that they do know it. And it makes me a little angry because I feel like it's patronizing. Like, we're going to tell you, just in case you don't know it, that, you know, faith is essential. We know these things. That's who we are. That's who we as Montanans are. And we gather together. It's not about a building. It's about people reaching out. And I just think that this bill makes it sound as if we don't know what that is. And we do. And I have experienced it in this building, and I am so grateful. And I just hope that we don't have to make a law to tell people to have hearts. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I stand today for those who I represent in House District 22 who support this bill. Religious worship helps in creating an ethical framework and also a regulator of values in day-to-day life. This particular approach helps in character building of a person. In other words, religious worship acts as an agency of socialization. Thus, religious worship helps in building values like love, empathy, respect, and harmony. Religion may also make you feel better about yourself by making you feel more a part of a larger culture. People who are religious have higher self-esteem and better psychological adjustments than people who aren't, according to a study in January of 2012. Spiritual wellness acknowledges our search for a deeper meaning in life. When we're spiritually healthy, we feel more connected to not only a higher power, but to those around us. We have more clarity when it comes to making everyday choices, and our actions become more consistent with our beliefs and values. Keeping our church doors open, I believe, could have prevented our increase in suicides this past year of lockdowns. As a rule, organized religion can present a high level of community support for a family. Religion can help guide a family about the values and the behaviors that are good or bad for the group. In non-traditional families, such as those led by single mothers, religion is both the source of support and a source of helping one with stress. Religion helps regulate behavior and health habits, while spiritually regulates your emotions, how you feel, explains one of the authors. Religiousness, including formal religious affiliation and service attendance, is associated with better health habits, such as lower smoking rates and reduced alcohol consumption. Let me share with you a survey percentage on the importance of religion in one's life by religious group. Buddhist, 33%, very important. Catholic, 58%. Evangelical Protestant, 79%. Hindu, 26%. Historically Black Protestant, 85%. Jehovah Witness, 90%. Jewish, 35%. Mainline Protestant, 53%. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 84%. Muslim, 64%. Orthodox Christian, 52%. A day of rest focusing on our Lord and Savior is my way of de-stressing and brings me calm and peace in my life in this crazy world. From my scriptures, Bible dictionary, I quote, "The importance of a sacred day for man to rest from his temporal labors, contemplate the word of the Lord, and assemble for public worship is a major item in a person's spiritual development. Furthermore, a decay in the national religious life always follows any tendency towards carelessness in the matter of Sabbath work observance. The existence of a weekly holy day is the most important safeguard. It leaves a constant reminder to the individual of his need for spiritual sustenance and his duty before God, and serves as a witness to the world that there is such a thing as revealed revelation."
45 seconds.
"For me, regular attendance at church is what keeps me going. Being part of a congregation helps me to refocus, have a support group, and gives me an opportunity to serve others. I'm not sure I want to know who I would be without this blessing in my life. Religious attendance is a weekly reminder of who I am, a child of God, who I serve, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for many of us, this is essential." Thank you.
Further discussion. Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also share the sadness of my colleague across the aisle. I'm sad because we do need this bill. In the last 14 months, we could go to big box stores. We could go to liquor stores. But we couldn't go worship in our place of faith. We do need this bill, and I urge you to vote yes.
Further discussion on the bill. Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, I would like to draw your attention to Section 5 of this bill, which is a section that I am concerned about that I'll just speak on real quickly. In the committee, this was a concerning section. This language, specifically sub 1, says the state can't fine or have a criminal or civil charge against a religious organization if they act in the name of religion. My concern is this can be used to give immunity to bad actors who might harm people, animals, property, if they claim it was an exercise of religion. I fear this section could end badly, creating a loophole for criminals and bad actors in our state, avoiding accountability. That's my concern, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Whiteman-Pena.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill. I would like to say that, you know, as former president of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe, we gave the Ministerial Association all the powers to shut down or open the churches because of the pandemic. And, you know, during a crisis like we just came out of, well, we're not out of it, but, you know, we're on the other side of getting the vaccines and stuff. But it was up to them to decide whether to close their doors or not. But because of the severity, they chose to close the church doors, and they abided by the executive orders that were put in place. You know, the state of Montana is different from how we operate on the reservation, but, you know, for a religion is just about anything. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Mahiyat, our Creator, is a relationship. And that relationship begins in your heart. I was always told that that is where the church begins, is in my heart. I'm on the leadership board for our church, and I attend as often as I could. When I had COVID, I watched it on Zoom. And when we couldn't have church, I watched it on Zoom. And my children also watched it. So that's where it begins. And so when we have to implement laws as this, then it's, you know, that right there kind of makes it a bit scary. But I would vote no on this. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Wendy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak on the bill. And regardless of whether you agree with me or disagree, and whether you kind of shake your head when I get up and grab this mic, but what I have to share here is something that's outside the box here as well, and talking about the discrimination of a lot of this things that's going on. If you recall reading your constitution that we all swear to uphold every time, is that the state of Montana has recognize the cultural integrity of the American Indians here. But yet we have bills that are like this that are contrary to previous actions that we've had. And in my way of life, it's we don't have a religion. It's a way of life. And the way of life that we have is something that we've been attacking here every day. Because according to Creator in His first creation, that no matter who we are, no matter what color of our skin, no matter what background we are, we're all equal in His eyes. But yet when we attack the bears and the wolves and the buffaloes on this very floor, goes against the very same thing that we're that's before us today. Because this my way of these four-leggeds that was, they've made a promise to Creator too, to serve us, His children. But yet this goes very contrary to that belief, my belief. And that's the reason why you're probably wondering why I always stand up every time when it comes to Indian issues, because I'm attacked every day here. And that's why I'm going to vote against this thing. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Stuart Paraguay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Body. First of all, there is a separation of church and state at the national level and at the state level. That was the intent of the founding fathers. And so here we are today talking about religion, or actually 71 days. And one of the things that we have to really think about, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm American Indian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Crow woman. And I believe in my ways as well. But just like Representative from Lame Deer talked about. And then also, just to give you a little background, I was an associate pastor for 20-plus years. I taught the Bible. And one of the things that we have to understand, ultimately, it's about, when we look at the government, it's about separation. We can't impose our belief ways upon other people. But oops, since 1492, forward, American Indians and others were prohibited, but particularly American Indians. When Christopher Columbus came over, he called the indigenous people of this place Indianos, or children of God. But when they decided to settle, then they were heathen, had to be Christianized, enslaved, to the point where 50% of that population in 300 years almost had died away. And then they had a discussion. And then eventually the Pope had a proclamation after a debate in Spain whether or not the Indianos were people or not and had aboriginal title to their land. Fast forward, 1492, the Doctrine of Discovery. Again, you want land? People are heathens. Conquests. Over and over again. Not until 1971, when America began to move forward, particularly as more immigrants came to this nation. The Indians were in the way. Prior to that, cooperation. But any time the natives were in the way, they were pushed out, they were heathens, self-serving. 1978, the Indian Religious Freedom Act was passed, which reversed all those hundreds of years of undercutting the religions of the American Indians, the aboriginal people of this continent. So today, we are talking about religion is essential. Yes, it is. It is essential. However, it is between us and our God. Between us, between me and Abadia. And the teachings, in the Christian teachings, when they asked Jesus, what is the law? He said to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, body, soul, and spirit. And the second is to love your brethren as yourself. And he said all of the law hang and the prophets hang on these two things.
1 minute.
So here we are. We believe in spirituality. The teaching, yes, Sundays, but the true Sabbath is on Saturday. When we look at Christianity, you have to understand all of the history and what it has imposed upon a people. And because we could not gather for a year, shouldn't have to bring a bill to do that because accommodations were made. But the most important thing is I'm going to ask you, because it goes a little too far here. It goes a little too far. Discriminatory practices would be allowed. If you don't like somebody the way they look or how they believe and they're not, it's not in your belief ways.
Representative, your time has expired.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vote.
Members, I have 8 in queue. The majority leader has spoken. If you feel like you absolutely need to speak, please stay in queue. If not, please drop off. Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I do recall a year ago when the moratorium for attending church occurred, my daily exposure didn't allow my conscience to be around those that I loved that were not as healthy as I was. However, I think in this discussion, we've all forgotten what the Constitution does say. We refer to it, but I think we overlook it often. The people shall have the right to peaceably assemble, petition for redress, or peaceably protest governmental action. We have the right to assemble, whether that's a church or in this body or on the sidewalk. This is Article 2. That was Section 6. Section 5, freedom of religion. The state shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I know I'm very simple and often cause amazement to you guys at my simpleton nature, but that's very easy. Prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And when we prohibit people from gathering, whether it's in a church, around a campfire, or a smokehouse, or wherever it is that they feel called to worship, we're prohibiting that free exercise thereof, and shame on us for allowing that to happen. Personally, God speaks to me regularly throughout the day. Often, it's in my aloneness that I hear him the clearest. As far as holy days go, every sunrise is emotionally special to me. The hope for the day is amazing. It brings nothing but warm memories of the days before and the challenges ensued to get there. So this bill, Senate Bill 172, affirms our Constitution with clarification that religion or the practice thereof is an essential duty. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Seekins-Crowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This is not a bill about your religious preferences. My religious preferences don't matter. This is not a bill about when you would happen to worship, how you would worship, or even if you worship. In fact, that's none of my business. This is a bill about taking personal responsibility, and this is a bill about the separation of church and state. And in fact, this bill doesn't care if you get your groceries curbside or inside the store. You have those choices, but this is about getting back to personal responsibility. You have the choice, according to this bill, once again, to not have the government interfere in whether or not you would prefer to join together with those with whom you worship. That's what this bill is about. Please vote green.
Further discussion, Representative Rickey.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman, I'm tied up. I don't get up often enough.
1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be brief. When I hear the comment that, let me just say this. It saddens me, too, that we have to bring this bill. But this bill is important. I'm going to vote yes. And that's because the government does not have the right to lock us out of our churches. So please vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Trevis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I wish this bill wasn't necessary, but because government got overzealous, specifically health departments in the former administration, here we are as government needing to rectify a government mistake. In-person church meetings were not part of the long list of essential activities permitted under the former governor's stay-at-home directive. Government should stay out of church matters. Let them decide how best to manage their affairs and take care of their folks. I couldn't get here fast enough to work on bills like this, so I'm voting green. Thank you.
There being no further discussion, does the bill carry your wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, body. Just real quick, I love it when the other side's making my case. I agree we shouldn't need to bring this bill, but the fact of it is we do. No, this act does not prevent government officials from protecting the public through neutral health and safety requirements. It merely ensures that the states do not target churches and other religious organizations for worse treatment in the name of public health. I was appalled in committee when the ACLU came in against this bill. I asked them, you know, if you would have been here for us when our rights were being trampled, we wouldn't have this bill in committee right now. I mean, ACLU, they're all about individual rights. Well, they weren't where they needed to be. Just in closing, the Supreme Court has long recognized that we were a religious people and that the government should respect the religious nature of our people and accommodate the public service to their spiritual needs. States can and should recognize that the spiritual needs of their citizens are at least as important as their physical needs. Man does not live by bread alone, Deuteronomy 8:3. As the Sixth Circuit recently noted the government may not permit, quote, life-sustaining operations to continue during a state of emergency without also permitting soul-sustaining operations such as religious services to continue, especially when the religious services adhere to all public health guidelines required of other services. Vote green. Thank you.
Representative Boyd, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Chairman, for whatever rule there is, I thought there was no mention of organization that's supposed to be spoken on the floor.
So noted. Thank you, Representative. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Galloway. When this committee does rise, report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 172, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 67 representatives have voted aye. 33 have voted no.
Senate Bill 172 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 173. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 173, introduced by Howard, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising emergency and disaster services laws, eliminating a continuing emergency or disaster without legislative involvement, providing for a legislative polling process by the Secretary of State to extend a governor's declaration of emergency or disaster, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Matt Regeer?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 173, that recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Members of the committee, Senate Bill 173 just deals with a legislative poll during an emergency or a state of disaster. You can see on page one there, this is a new section, line one, or line 13. It allows the governor to request a legislative poll. This is there so that we don't have to come back into special session. We can just do it by poll to extend it for another 45 days. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Representative Dunwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I rise against SB 173. For citizen legislators to be able to decide whether to extend declarations of state of emergency or disaster is a terrible idea. SB 173 is a bad bill that actually could have dangerous consequences for the safety of our Montana communities. Many of you know, years ago, I worked for a number of years in crisis and emergency risk communication and response. So I know a thing or two about emergency response, especially for disasters. A state of emergency or disaster declaration could be for any hazard, from public health pandemic to oil spills in the Yellowstone River to wildfires to earthquakes. Most citizen legislators are not trained in all hazards, crisis and emergency response, and recovery decisions. Most of us haven't exercised as part of an incident command system. Our governor is advised by our state's disaster emergency response officials and subject matter experts like the state medical officer or emergency services administrator. We legislators are not subject matter experts. And this bill will completely upend the incident command system and response and recovery work of the Emergency Operations Center. Under ICS, legislators and other elected officials are stakeholders, and we're updated and informed and able to provide input like members of the public are. But we don't want politicians making decisions for which emergency response experts spend months and years training and conducting exercises. Plus, and this is really important, decisions in emergency response need to be made quickly with no time to waste. There's not time to stop and take a poll of 150 legislators back home in every corner of the state, even if it's done electronically. And perhaps the most egregious part of the bill is on page 3, if I can ask you to refer to lines 16 and 17. If the legislature terminates either declaration, the governor may not declare another state of emergency or disaster based on the same or substantially similar facts and circumstances. Well, you know, what that means is the governor cannot redeclare an emergency if terminated by the legislature. And if that turns out to have been a really wrong move with terrible negative consequences, we can't do a redo. And we'd be stuck in dire straits with no recourse to declare, again, a state of emergency for the incident, and possibly not be able to secure funding to accompany that disaster or response. Even though the next line says we can continue the services, but the funding, federal funding, could from FEMA could be pulled. So, with all that, vote red, please. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our response to the recent health emergency, regardless of your belief as to its severity, has been undoubtedly flawed. Take, for example, for the first time in human history, we quarantined healthy people. Secondly, we destroyed our economy. Third, we postponed and delayed preventative health care that may cost us tens of thousands of lives, all in the name of a virus that turns out to be not very severe. And additionally, this bill makes it clear that we were placed under lock and key and quarantine by unelected bureaucrats who did not take into account all of the other things involved. We turned over to health officials complete and total control of our society. And when you are a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. And they're not to blame for the actions they took, because they had no responsibility for all of the other unintended consequences of the actions that they imposed upon us. This bill makes it so that we, the elected representatives of the people, responsible for the health, welfare, and general care and safety and security of the people of the state of Montana, have input and therefore the responsibility for the actions of government. I urge agreeing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, let's discuss where this bill came from. This is important to me because many of us in leadership last cycle were figuring out how can we deal with this declaration of emergency. Please, friends, turn to page. If we go to page 2, line 19, this is current code. If we don't pass this, this is law. A state of emergency may not continue for longer than 30 days, is the original code, unless continuing conditions of the state of emergency exist, which must be determined by a declaration of emergency by the President of the United States or by a declaration of the legislature by joint resolution. Don't look at the next line, because this is what's currently in law, of continuing conditions of the state of emergency. So many of us in leadership of this caucus met in the beginning of all this and thought, hey, it's more than 30 days. The governor doesn't have the legal right to continue the state of emergency. What can we do to stop the state of emergency or to put our foot on the pedal about this? And we saw the only thing we could do is a joint resolution. So how do we do a joint resolution when we're not in session? If you remember, your Joint Rules Committee met, and we tried to set this up polling so that we can decide this when we're not here. And then what did my friends on the other side say? It's unconstitutional. You can't meet joint rules. This bill is a solution to that problem. So for as far as the fact that we don't have the authority to do this, we already do in code right there. The thing that's being struck is the declaration of emergency. Another component of this that we discovered, if you look on the back now, a state of disaster, this is page 3, number 7, sub 3, line 7. 45 days unless a continuing condition of the state exists or the legislature by joint resolution allows it. A state of emergency cannot allow more than 30 days without our permission. That's the law right now. That law was broken last year. We tried to fix it. This is that solution. Now look, on line 15, page 3, if the legislature terminates either declaration, the governor may not declare another state of emergency. Why would we put that language in there? It's because when we met and discussed this, we said, what's the point of calling a special session, costing the taxpayers money, running a resolution, giving it to the governor, and as soon as we sign EDI out of that special, he can immediately declare it again once we leave. That's why Montana's GOP didn't fix this last year. If we had this bill in effect, we could have fixed this last year. This bill solves the problem. It puts all 100 of us and the 50 in the Senate, which represents every single human being in Montana, at the steering wheel on a state of emergency. And the last thing about the feds being able to pull their money, that's not true either. If the feds appropriate it and we spend it, it's there. They can't take it back from us. This is a great bill, folks. This empowers your Montana legislature to do what the citizens were begging us to do for at least 10 months. Please vote green. Simple yes.
Further discussion, Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the good carrier on seat 81.
Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
Representative.
Mr. Chairman, my friend from Kalispell, I just noted that House Bill 230 passed the Senate on third reading today. It covers the same territory that we have here. I know you're very familiar with that particular bill. Can you please tell me how this improves upon the bill that this body has already put through this body and now it's gone through the Senate?
Mr. Chair and Representative, yes, what is just passed in House Bill 230 is exactly overlap of this. So, and there's actually coordination language in House Bill 230. If House Bill 230 is signed, then this bill would die.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak to the bill. I have to stand in opposition to this bill, but not for the reasons that were put forward by folks on the other side of the aisle. The notion of polling the legislature in order to do substantive things such as ending a state of emergency, I think, is bad practice. We get paid nominally in order to conduct the business of the people of the state. The decision to end the state of emergency is a substantive decision that requires serious debate. As you well know, our polling process is a yes-no proposition with no possibility for amendment, no possibility for substantive public comment, and no possibility for debate. This bill is a bad idea. My friend's bill from the House Bill 230 was a good idea in my view, not in the view of everyone here. I think that we ought not clutter the battlefield here with this bill. I urge voting no.
There being no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So members, once again, we're not voting on if we can weigh in on that. Like it was said, we already have that power. It's just how we're weighing in by the poll. I do want to make just one comment. The opposition said they do not want politicians making decisions. So if that is your take, then you are more than welcome to not vote on this.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Matt Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 173 that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 59 representatives have voted aye. 41 have voted no.
Senate Bill 173 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 185. Clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 185, introduced by Howard, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising the Powers of the Governor to Suspend Certain Statutes During an Emergency, prohibiting a governor from suspending a statute that affects the exercise of an individual's constitutional rights and amending section, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Galloway?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 185, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and body. Hopefully I don't upset people again, but we're going to talk about constitutional rights. And this is just the governor's authority, except as provided in subsection 4, which reads, the governor may not suspend a statute that affects the exercise of an individual's constitutional rights under the United States Constitution or the Montana Constitution, including 13-9-104-3. Even if the statute is otherwise considered a regulatory statute prescribing the procedures for conduct of state business. We had two pros, no opponents. Vote green.
Is there a discussion? Representative Kerr Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if the carrier would yield to a question.
Would the carrier yield?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I'm looking at that statute 13-19-104-3, and I'm wondering if, you know, for example, on an election day there were a surprise flood or late in the season wildfires, and an election and a polling place had to close because there was a state of emergency. Would the governor have the leeway to ensure the safety of our voters and ensure that their right to access the polls was preserved?
I'm not following what your question is getting at.
Mr. Chair, Representative, so 13-19-104-3 deals with when mail elections can be held and when voting can be held. And I'm wondering if the governor needs to issue a state of emergency, whether this bill would infringe upon the governor's ability to protect the rights of voters in the case of an emergency that could be life-threatening. Would our voters still be able to get to the polls and vote?
Well, as I read it, it's protecting our constitutional right, or through the chair, Mr. Chair, good representative. It's about protecting their constitutional rights. So if that's a constitutional right, then that's very possible that he could make that decision. And that's why we get to choose who we put in that office.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, I actually walked into this into the committee today thinking that I was going to be a yes on this bill. Because I do believe that we need to be protecting the rights of our constituents, and especially in the case of a state of an emergency, that's a really vulnerable time. I think my concern is that if there was an emergency, I think one of the unexpected consequences of what this bill could do is if there were an emergency where people's lives could be affected that would make it so that they could not get to the polls, our governor would not have the leeway, and the Secretary of State would not have the leeway to change, to allow those folks to vote after the fact and get their voices heard in the democratic process. I may be misreading it, but I think that is a concern. And because of that, I think that voting is one of the most important ways that we interact with our democracy. And I don't think if a state of emergency came up and a person couldn't get to the polls, I wouldn't want there to be a problem for them. So for that reason, I'm going to be a no. So thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. January 30th, 2005, Iraq, people went out to vote, risked their lives to vote. We got people here don't even want to drive down to the mailbox. This is a non-issue. I'll crawl over broken glass through a field of fire to vote. Vote green.
So noted. Further discussion, Representative Nolan. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To respond to the good representative in seat, what seat number was she in? Apologize, 50. I think you are reading something into it that has not happened, and it has never happened, so I don't see us that it is going to be an issue. We did hear this in committee. We vetted it. We listened to everything, and it came out of committee. Members, this is a good bill. We need to look after and safeguard our opportunities. Now, the Governor has those rights, as we put in here, has the responsibilities that is allowed in here, as it specifies on line 15, section A there, except as provided in subsection 4. We are trying to accomplish something that needs to be addressed, needs to be looked at. We have addressed it. Please vote green.
There being no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Representative Galloway, the one this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 185. I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 66 representatives voted aye. 33 have voted no.
Senate Bill 185 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 224. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 224, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising campaign finance laws, increasing the campaign finance disclosure monetary threshold, prohibiting the commissioner of political practices from requesting additional information and disclosure reports, providing that a person who hosts a fundraising reception or other political event on their property is not making a contribution, revising reporting deadlines and requirements, providing certain reporting exceptions, revising incidental committee filing requirements, providing that certain candidates may use the same account in a campaign depository for primary and general election funds under certain circumstances, increasing aggregate contribution limits by a political committee, political party committee, and an individual to a committee, increasing limits on a total combined monetary contributions by certain political committees to certain candidates, directing the contributions by certain political committees to certain candidates, directing the amendment of ARM, repealing naming and labeling provisions regarding political committees, revising definitions, amending sections, and repealing section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Putnam?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 224, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Most of what this bill does is there in the title, but I will go through this so we can understand what all is in there. Section 1, it says that if you use real property for fundraising, it's not a contribution. Under current law, if you allow a person to use real property for a fundraising or campaign event, it would constitute a contribution. This rule is impractical and only increases campaign costs. In Section 2, the bill clarifies that a legislative candidate is not required to open two campaign accounts if they receive general election and primary election contributions. Kind of matches what most people are probably already doing. Sections 3 and 4 increases the contribution limits. Montana's got some of the lowest contribution limits in the country. There's a lot of money flowing into political action committees instead of candidates. This will allow some of that money to flow directly to candidates rather than go into PACs. 5 and 6 increases the threshold for disclosure to reflect the impact of inflation. It also means that you don't have to file this disclosure on election day. Section 6, certain expenditures are eliminated from the reporting requirements, including contributions for personal services, if those are reported by the party for tangible campaign materials, such as signs, which were produced in a previous campaign. And then finally, in Section 6 and 8, it takes away the power and authority to require additional disclosure of items not required by statute. The commissioner will no longer have the power to require a candidate to disclose quantities of things such as signs or stamps. Ultimately, this is a policy decision. If we want a disclosure of these type of things, we should pass a law, not delegate that authority to the commissioner. That's the bill. Thank you.
Is there a discussion? Speaker Pro Tem Casey Knutson.
Sir, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate Bill 224 be amended and Amendment SB 02240030001 be posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment increases just different various campaign contribution limits, as well as it eliminates the PAC contribution aggregate limits for legislative candidates.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The author of this bill is friendly to this amendment. Me personally, I'm a little concerned about eliminating the PAC limits, but overall, I think it's a good amendment.
There being no further discussion on the amendment, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises.
Chair, I'm punched in. Excuse me.
Representative Cargiulo, you were punched in on the bill. Question now arises on the amendment of Representative Casey Knutson. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 67 representatives have voted aye. 31 have voted no.
The amendment has passed. Representative Karjala, you were punched in early on the bill, did not punch in on the amendment, so I did not recognize you on the amendment. Representative Karjala, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My apologies. The display board is a little confusing when the shadows come on and off. They're still confusing when I look at them, so I really appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. If I were going to sponsor a bill based on a laundry list of things I don't like, things that are quite honestly sometimes a hassle about campaign finance reports, this bill would be it. If I were going to draft a bill on behalf of the wishes of all the special interest groups based on how they thought they could most easily exploit the campaign process to tilt the playing field in their favor, this bill would be it. But I didn't, and I wouldn't, because though campaign finance reporting can sometimes be a headache, we shouldn't be legislating on how to make things easier for ourselves, especially when our complaints consist of what can quite honestly be considered minor inconveniences. Worse, when we sponsor a bill like this, we're saying our priority is ease and convenience for ourselves at the expense of accountability and transparency to our voters. When we sponsor legislation that looks like it was drafted off of a wish list written by special interest groups, then we're talking about legislation that's based on nothing less than malfeasance. If there were one bill that served as a barometer of the trajectory of politics as a whole in the state of Montana, it would have to be this bill. This bill does make me sad. Seems like a sad day today in the chamber. But it makes me sad because I served in this chamber in 2015, and I also served on the State Administration and Veterans Affairs Committee that first heard a bill from the same bill sponsor of SB 224 that I would consider to be nothing less than an equivalent of the Disclose Act of 2015. I'd go so far as to call him a champion against dark money in the 2015 legislative session, that is. Let's not forget that Montana led the nation in campaign finance ethics, and I dare remind you, it was Montana Republicans who led the charge. We enforced that through reasonable contribution limits and accountability. It truly does sadden me to see the path that has led us to this point, from leading the nation to the point that we're at now, voting on a bill that will effectively gut our ability to hold candidates and committees accountable and allow our voters to know who's donating to influence political speech. It gets rid of the level playing field upon which we've all been able to compete and weights the scale heavily in favor of the already powerful. I guess if this bill passes, we can host fundraisers with special interest groups at Major League Baseball fields and airline headquarters. The sky's the limit. Montana has a proud history of being represented by a citizen legislature with people from all demographics in the state being able to run and serve in no small part thanks to our campaign finance limits. By capping donation amounts within levels that most Montanans can afford, we created a level playing field that ensures the voices of all Montanans are being heard and represented in the lawmaking process. Considering that Montana is one of the lower states for incomes in the nation, this bill will only ensure that the wealthiest among us and or those with ties to them are elected and represented in the halls of Montana's capital. There was one bill we should all vote against this session. It is this bill. So I entreat you to please vote no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the bill, Representative Cordham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition today. How many of you have knocked doors and had a constituent tell you there isn't enough money or corporate influence in our political system? With that in mind, here's the second question. Who does this bill serve? Who benefits here? Certainly not our constituents. Their voices, already muted by big money influence, are further blocked from the process by an insurmountable amount of corporate dollars. So that leaves two groups who benefit, the large corporations and the politicians that they support. Montanans don't appreciate the former, so it's hard to imagine that they will support the latter. What Montanans do appreciate are our campaign finance laws in our state. Written to rectify some of the deepest corruption our democracy has seen, our campaign finance laws are a core part of who we are. We just amended it to make those limits even higher and allow outside corporate PAC money to pour into our state and local elections. Please vote no on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Hayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. This bill is completely unnecessary. No one in our state wants this aside from wealthy corporations intent on exerting even more influence over our political system. There is no way to look at this bill as anything other than a complete surrender of our political system to large corporations that already invest quite a bit to control it. Just to go over some of the fine points in the bill, it increases campaign finance disclosure monetary thresholds. It prohibits the Commissioner of Political Practices from requesting additional information in disclosure reports. It provides that a person who hosts a fundraising reception or other political event on their property is not making a contribution. Revises incidental committee filing requirements, providing that certain candidates may use the same account in a campaign depository for a primary and general election funds under certain circumstances. Increases aggregate contribution limits by a political committee and a political party committee. And increases limits on total combined monetary contributions by certain political committee to certain candidates. So basically, we have no sidebars on campaign finance limitations. This flies in the face of what our constituents want, and I urge you to vote no.
There being no further discussion, does the bill sponsor wish to close? Pardon me, the bill carrier has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Putnam that when this committee does rise report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 224 as amended, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 69 representatives voted aye. 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 224 as amended has passed, has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 231. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 231, introduced by Blaisdell, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising laws related to providing a family transfer division of land, clarifying that divisions of land by sale, gift, or agreement are subject to review under Title 76, Chapter 5 and 6, clarifying that divisions of land transferred to landowner's immediate family are subject to certain zoning regulations and minimum lot sizes, prohibiting subsequent transfers of divisions of land from a landowner immediate family for 2 years, providing a penalty, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Malone?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 231, to recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Malone.
Members of the body, this Senate Bill 231 goes out to clarify a family transfer. You probably noticed that it had water in it at one time, but somebody eliminated all the water out of the bill, so now it's a family transfer bill. Family transfers have been in a land use tool, been in effect since the 70s. It is very important to agriculture, since it allows the owner of an agricultural parcel, owner of agricultural land, to be parceled out so that a family member can build a home and remain a part of the ag operation. It's also important that since banks will not loan on a home if the mortgagee does not own the land, that's important to the banks. The bill is very similar to a bill that was passed by the legislature in 2017 but sustained a veto. The important part of this bill on page 2, bottom thereof, is it allows a transfer, family transfer, to occur within the boundaries of a zoning district, which right now they cannot do. As you well know, many counties have created large zoning districts. The bill also clarifies when the transferred land can be sold, and a civil penalty for those who do not follow the requirements. Another important feature of the bill that allows the local governing body to authorize variances from the requirements to address any hardship situations out there. Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 231 be amended and request that Senate Amendment SB 02310003002 be deemed read.
And posted so ordered.
Members, this amendment came. I had a lot of inquiries from the public about the acreage parcels in on the bill, and this amendment basically deletes the acreage part of it so that the local governing body can put that in on themselves. So.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? There being no discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close?
I close. Vote green.
The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Malone. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 92 representatives have voted aye. 8 have voted no.
The amendment has passed. Further discussion on the bill. Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 231 be amended and request that Amendment SB 02310003003 be posted and deemed as read.
So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this is a simple amendment. However, you have probably figured out that the line references are not correct. Reference number 1 should be line 7, not line 8, and number 2, it should be line 21, not line 22. What this amendment does is it allows for the family transfer parcel to be conveyed to the immediate family member and that immediate family member's spouse. This can be handy for people should they want to immediately acquire loans, and also will eliminate the number of transfers that might be necessary at the end of the waiting period. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? Representative Malone.
I would consider my gentleman to my left as a friendly amendment.
There being no further discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises in the amendment of Representative Beattie. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
The amendment has passed. Further discussion on the bill as amended. Representative Caleb Hinkle.
Mr. Chair, a question for the carrier.
Would the carrier yield?
I yield.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, Representative Malone, I just got a couple quick clarification questions. On page 3, why is there a minimum of 5 acres for the transfer?
There is, Mr.
To the chair, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that took that out, that amendment.
Okay, sorry. I thought I was through the. Never mind. I'll just go to my second question follow up.
Does the carrier still yield?
I yield.
On the bottom of 22 and 23, why is there a 2-year waiting period for the transfer and convey to another?
Mr. Chair, that's Mr. Gentleman in the back there from Gallatin County. That is current law that you cannot, they don't want to be able to sell land. For example, a owner transfers to a child and then sells, thus evading the Subdivision Act.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill as amended. Representative Ferris Olson.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, thank you. I stand in opposition to the bill today, though I think those amendments fixed a lot of the problems. I think my number one problem is that while this provides a 2-year review or 2-year prohibition on transfer, I think that it still creates kind of a state-sanctioned way to evade subdivision review, maybe 2 years or less, depending on the local body. Second of all, I think that this bill has changed so dramatically throughout the process from going from exempt wells to now family transfers. I don't think it's gotten a fair shake in front of the public. And so I'd ask everyone to vote against 231 for those reasons. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the bill as amended. Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to ask a question of the bill carrier, please.
Does the carrier yield to a question?
I yield.
Thank you, Representative. I meant to punch in on discussing the amendment just because, and I hate to do it with your indulgence, the line numbers on this amendment appear to be wrong, and so I'm trying to justify what I know the bill sponsor's intent was with the amendment, but it's not what it says, and so I don't know if it's appropriate to go back and if we can look at that and say what lines are actually being stricken in that amendment we just passed. What was amendment 23100300302?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it was the intention of the carrier was to eliminate on page 3, lines 4 and 5, eliminate the acreage.
Okay. Follow-up?
Does the carrier still yield?
Yes, I yield.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying that, because I'm reading it as that we did not just cross out line 4 according to the amendment. So I just wanted to clarify that intention, because I think that might answer some people's questions about the minimum size of a divided parcel. Thank you.
Representative Carlson, for point of clarification, when those amendments are put in, oftentimes the lines are changed. So it could very well have met the requirement, because as the carrier indicated, it goes through a line that gets rid of the minimum allowances for the size of the division of property. If that is in error, I would seek counsel on it, but if not, I would continue. Is there further discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a point of order to the committee, remember the bill that's in front of us is considered a committee bill. It's printed by what we saw in the committee, so it shows how it was amended. The bill that's in the room over here is engrossed. It has everything on it, so when you engross amendments in the committee, it'll change the line numbers. The new committee, when it comes to the floor, it references the engrossed bill, not the committee bill in front of you. We talked about this a couple of months ago. The numbers won't exactly match up, but if you follow the dictation, it'll show you exactly where it's putting it. The numbers will never line up because of the software concerns. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative, for that clarification. Further discussion, Representative Noland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill and give you a little example of why this is a good bill and why I'm supporting it, and why we need to support our good president. So I have a constituent who will benefit from this bill, Senate Bill 231. They have an adult autistic son for whom they are trying to prepare accommodations for his needs and care into the future. They currently have approximately 28-acre parcel that is zoned for residential, 20. Under Montana Law today, they are prohibited from doing a family transfer parcel. And that's just wrong. Housing prices are out of control across the state. And family transfer parcels are one thing we can give to a loved one, which is free land. I've seen some correspondence on this bill, and I don't believe the people are necessarily reading it correctly. Regardless, in talking with the Senate president, which I've just spoken with him recently at the back of the room about, what, an hour ago? I know he's committed to resolving any confusion in a conference committee. I know and trust the Senate president. I hope you will, too. This is a good bill.
Further discussion, Representative Custer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the sponsor.
Does the carrier yield to a question?
I yield.
Mr. Chair, good sponsor, it looks like the amendment took out that line, which is on line 4 on our bill, the way I'm looking at it. It took the parcel to be divided is not less than 10 acres. But I think that it says that the family parcel still has to be 5 acres. Am I right? Whatever's left. If you only had 9 acres and you gave the kids 5 acres, you'd still have 4 acres left. Is that right? Is how I'm reading it?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it was my intention when I talked to the code writer that they take all references to acres out of there.
Well, regardless of how much Mr. Chair, good representative, regardless of how much they had, and they could make it into whatever size they needed for their purposes then?
That was their concern. That's the people I heard from, Mr. Chair, so representative, that was a concern.
Okay, well, thank you. I don't know that this quite did it, so that's all I'm saying. Thanks.
There being no further discussion on the bill, does the carrier wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a good bill. When I was a county commissioner, we did several of these family transfers. It really helps out the family and those young people that want a parcel of land. Again, it's important when they want to put a house on it that they have a clear title of that land. It's for ag, as I used it myself, and that's it's a good bill, and I thank the president for bringing it forward, and thank you for letting me carry it.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Malone that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 231, they recommend the same be concurred in as amended. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 68 representatives have voted aye. 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 231, as amended, has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 260. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 260, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising laws related to property interests, identifying things in which property interests exist, including goodwill and going concern value of a business, licensed to pursue a business or livelihood, real property and fixtures, personal property and appurtenances, water rights and intangible property, providing that identified property interests are protected private property interests, providing exceptions, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Buttrey?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise report after having under consideration Senate Bill 260, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Representative Buttrey.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, Senate Bill 260 is a bill that I hope has and is generating lots of discussion about the impacts that government actions, both state and local, can have on private property rights. So as lawmakers, we see it every day. We see it every session. Some of us have seen it this morning in committee. The government often pursues and enacts regulation, ordinance, or statute that has an effect not just on the government, but also on non-governmental entities in the private sector. And as lawmakers, we justify these actions in that we believe they're very well-meaning and based upon public health and safety, good policy, or under the guise of local control. Unfortunately, what we may not consider is what the impacts of our actions are on businesses and private property rights of Montanans. So let's use our imaginations for a bit, step out of the role of legislators, and put yourself in the shoes of a business owner. And your business employs workers, it pays taxes, provides economic benefit not only to the state, but also to your family and the families of your employees. Your business is a good actor, and you follow all laws, regulations, and ordinance. Then wham! Someone in government perceives that because of safety, health, or needed policy change, that your livelihood and your business is not in the best interest of your city, county, or state. Much or maybe even everything that you've invested in your business is gone. You're no longer welcome. Your livelihood, your income, your employees, and even your own well-being is simply deleted. So is this fair? That's the question that's in Senate Bill 260. I personally think this is wrong, and I think that we should have fair compensation for law-abiding persons and companies that are affected by these actions. And this was the genesis and the reason why Senate Bill 260 was created. That being said, even with good intentions, we need to address these items in the best way possible that will still allow government entities to operate. So there's going to be a friendly amendment offered to Senate Bill 260. It is friendly to the carrier and to the sponsor, and I hope you'll consider it and let us start on the process towards making sure we're protecting these private property rights. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill 260 be amended and request that amendment number SB 02600004001 be posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members of the committee, I want to take a little bit of time to explain the thought process here, because it is certainly a departure from the language in the bill, but I think as we've talked about the bill, there have been concerns about whether it perhaps could, given the fiscal note, we might have an unknown fiscal implication, and that we might actually be almost picking winners by virtue of language in this bill. And by that I mean that we had a trigger about a 25% or greater impact to the loss of value of an asset. And I think you can read the bill to suggest that we would, again, if someone could substantiate that and tie it to an action of a local government or a state government, that we could be looking at substantial claims that at least at this point are perhaps unknown and unknowable to what it would mean to us. So very quickly, I want to say that what I did was look to our friends from friends to the West. They have something called the Idaho Regulatory Takings Act. They've had it since 1995, and all I did, there's nothing creative about this amendment. It simply takes what they've had in statute over there for over 20 years, and it simply does this. It says, the amendment says, that if a state agency takes an administrative or regulatory action, that they, before they do that, they have to evaluate based upon a checklist that you will see on page 2 of the amendment. The checklist must contain the following questions. Does the regulation or action result in either a permanent or temporary physical occupation of private property? Does the regulation or action require a property owner to either dedicate a portion of property or to grant an easement? Does the regulation deprive the owner of all economically viable uses? Does the regulation have a significant impact? All those things, and the two questions I didn't ask, need to be evaluated before the state agency moves forward. It does not mean that the state agency can't move forward. It just means that the state agency needs to evaluate the property interests that could be implicated by its action. It also doesn't pick winners and losers. It doesn't do anything to say that the state, if it moved forward, would in fact need to compensate a property owner. It simply needs to assess the risks based upon what's in here. So it would put us probably for the first time on a track to have, before state agencies take regulatory administrative action, to actually consider what the financial implications for the state could be if it would face the risk of takings litigation. This amendment doesn't affect local government in any way as it's written, although in Idaho it does apply to local governments. I knew that that would potentially create another hurdle, so we have exempted local governments from it. It's not retroactive, it's prospective. And again, it doesn't mean that the state can or cannot proceed. It simply means it needs to evaluate the legal risks associated with an action. It also wouldn't have any effect on our ability statutorily to do something. If we pass something here, this would not create an obligation that we would need to assess those factors. This is simply applying, at least as amended, to state agency action undertaken pursuant to essentially administrative law authority.
1 minute.
So just to work back to the original bill, Section 1 is fully intact under the amendment. And after you get to the bottom of Section 1, everything else is stricken until you reach the language at the very end of the bill. So essentially, this is a look before the state leaps provision, and that's what it is. So it is a departure from the original bill. I think it is a good first step, a prudent first step, something that would allow us to evaluate the implications of state action before it's taken. And I think it's certainly narrower than the bill, and that's why I think it's something that we should be much more comfortable with and at the same time would be advancing property rights. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Discussion on the amendment. Representative Keene. Well, Representative waves off. There being no more discussion on the amendment, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Mercer. Those in favor of the amendment vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 91 representatives have voted aye. 9 have voted no.
The amendment has passed. Is there further discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I will speak to the bill. I want to first just say thank you to my good friend from Billings for bringing the amendment. I did support it because I felt that it did present less problems than the original bill itself, so I was happy to support the amendment. But that being said, I will still be unable to support this bill. As the good representative from Billings stated, this bill or this amendment is a huge deviation from the original bill. In fact, it's an entirely new bill. That means it had no hearing, it had no public comment, we have no fiscal note, we don't know the impacts that this could have on various agencies or any technical concerns that comes with this legislation. And this, quite frankly, in my opinion, circumvents our legislative process. I think that I owe my constituents more than that. I believe in our process and hearing things out, and that is not what we're doing with this amendment. Furthermore, I do have the gray bill in front of me, but if you look at page 3 on your amendment, that subsection 6, it reads, a private property owner is not required to submit a request under this chapter. The decision by the private property owner not to submit a request under this chapter may not prevent or prohibit the private property owner from seeking any legal or equitable remedy, including but not limited to the payment of just compensation. The way that I am reading this line of this amendment is saying that if a private property owner chooses not to submit a request and the Attorney General's office then does not go through this list of questions with administrative rule, they don't have to. They can still go on to sue they can sue for their takings claim. So because this is now an entirely new bill, it's quite late in the process. This bill did come out of committee on March 26th, and this bill was introduced online at 8 a.m. So we've had about 5 hours to look over this before floor started. So for that reason and for line 6 in the amendment, I will be a no, and I urge you to join me. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill as amended, Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a few quick comments. This bill struggled to get out of committee. We gave it the light of day. We were promised that it was going to get worked on. And here we are at the 11th hour with an 11th hour solution. And as much as I really respect and appreciate what the good representative from Billings has done, and it makes a lot of sense, we have no fiscal note. We have no technical notes. And those were the issues that I had with this bill when it started. And for that reason, I at this 11th hour, you know, I just cannot comprehend why we couldn't. I think the concept is great. I think we need something like this. But at this point, I'm just unable to move forward and recommend a no.
Further discussion on the bill as amended, Representative Noland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I want to say something to the freshmen. Welcome to the legislature. We get these tough things thrown in our laps, sometimes at the last minute. And I can feel your concerns, and I hope going forward, this is not going to change much. We're still going to get these. We did hear this bill in committee. Yes, we did hold it. Yes, we did do a bunch of things, hoping for some different amendments. We did get the amendments. Are they late? Perhaps. That's what we do. It's a tough decision. You have to make your decision now. And you're going to have to push a button. I don't want to see the government doing the wrong thing and taking people's property rights and property in a takings aspect. We did meet with the lieutenant governor. We did meet with a lot of folks. There were a bunch of us that went in there. We didn't agree. And guess what? We're still not going to agree. But we're going to make law. So I would just ask you to consider that this amendment does make the bill better. If there's some other hiccups you want to talk about, we have conference committees. We have other ways to fix things. We need to pass something to move it forward. I don't really know how this bill is going to go. I think it's going to be close. But with this amendment, it is a good bill. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill as amended, Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to just jump in on rebuttal here and say let's take this on the merits. I agree that the process probably hasn't been perfect, but I guess the question is do we think that this is good public policy? Do we think it's a good idea for administrative agencies before they take steps
to evaluate what the implications are going to be for people that have private property. If we do, then it seems like this is policy that we would want to advance, at least to continue for the remainder of the session to have a debate. There'll be opportunities to go red if you end up thinking it's a bad idea, and as it gets additional sunlight. But the question, if we thought we were taking a flyer here without really any sort of sense of whether something like this would be workable, I would probably be more concerned. But the fact that we are adopting what our neighbor has done and used now for over 25 years and essentially just duplicated the effort and narrowed it only to state action, the risk of making a mistake is considerably lower. We have a precedent. It's a precedent that works. So if you want to try to protect property rights from regulatory takings, this is a step in the right direction. And for that reason, I'd urge you to allow it to live another day. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on the bill is amended. Representative Jedediah Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the good representative of seat number 84 yield to a question?
Does the representative yield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I'm just trying to understand all this on a fly. You had mentioned in when you were presenting your amendment that and I didn't understand if you're saying the bill no longer included local governments or that the amendment did not include local governments. Could you clarify that for me, first off?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, I can't clarify it. So if you review the language in the top of page 2 of the amendment, new section 2, it refers only to state agencies and the regulatory and administrative actions of state agencies. So this does not reach local government conduct. The bill in the form that it reached our second reading calendar would apply to both local and state government. But the amendment would narrow it so it only affects state government and only administrative and regulatory conduct on the part of state government.
Okay, would good representative yield to another question?
Does the bill carrier continue to yield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, so can you explain to me on the bill, it would be page 2, subsection 4, I guess on line 22 there, when it talks about the power authority of a local government to lawfully enact. Can you explain to me what that section is addressing with local governments and that how that would apply to your amendment?
Mr. Chairman, can I seek a clarification from my colleague? I missed the passage he's referencing.
Representative Hinkle, would you restate your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, it'd be page 2 and then line 22 of the bill, and it would be that subsection 4 there.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, all the language beginning on page 2, line 11, through the bottom of page 3, all of that is stricken by the amendment. So the amendment would delete that passage.
Okay. Mr. Chair, just if I could make a statement, I guess. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't see that. I saw the 0.7 on page 3, and that's where I was getting confused. I thought it started on page 3, so thank you for that.
There being no further discussion, does the bill carrier wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will. And I think there was some confusion. The amendment sponsor said that Section 1 remained intact. He meant subsection 1 of Section 1 remained intact, so please know that. You know, it is an entirely new bill. We're on day 71. We were tasked at the end of session to come up with a solution that would work and that would allow government to continue to operate. And we've got a neighbor next door, Idaho, and they've got a Regulatory Takings Act. It's been in place for 20 years. The sky hasn't fallen. Governments continue to operate. We've got to do something. So now the choice falls in your hands. We can protect the private interests of Montanans. We can protect Montana's private property rights. Or if this is just too late in the game, then we can continue down the same path. We can allow politicians and agencies to make decisions based on whatever they think or perceive as right without consideration of these private property rights or the private interests of Montanans. And that's the choice. I hope you'll remember my example. Put yourself in that business's shoes. There's folks here in this body that have had this happen. You're doing everything right. You're following the law. You're paying your taxes. You're doing everything that a good actor is supposed to do under current law, regulation, and whatever the other word is. And then one day, somebody, because they perceive an issue of safety or public health or local control, it is all taken away from you. If you vote no on this, for this first step to start working through the state, not the local governments, but this first step to make sure we consider what we're doing when we make these laws and when agencies make rules, if you vote no, you're saying that's okay. Come take my business. Maybe today it's one type of business. The next day they don't like sporting goods stores. Next day they don't want casinos. They don't want bars. They don't want big box stores, whatever it is. Gone. That's what can happen. So I hope you'll consider that and give this a green light. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The question now arises in the motion of Representative Buttrey that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 260, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 41 representatives have voted aye. 59 have voted no.
Senate Bill 260 has not been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 284. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 284, introduced by Temple, a bill for an act entitled An Act Waiving Certain Costs Incurred by Counties, Cities, and Towns Related to Open-Cut Mining Operations, Amending Sections and Providing an Immediate Effective Date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Fitzgerald?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 284, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Mr. Chair.
Representative Fitzgerald.
What I have here before you, body, is the Gravel is Gold Bill. For those of you that are out in rural Montana, it's a pretty straightforward bill that waives all fees, dues, and charges of any kind that the state requires a county to pay when opening a gravel pit, and most of them are very small pits, and the ability to operate that gravel pit, as long as the gravel goes on county roads. Obviously, there's only 56 counties that are worried about this particular bill. It has become very cumbersome for all counties, small and large, and very expensive to open up a gravel pit strategically placed around a county for efficiency of delivery. It's not uncommon to have costs running from $6,000 to $8,000 before a yard of gravel is moved. All this does is make more efficient. Probably take a 28-page application and $10,000 down to about an 8-page and avoid a lot of extraneous inspections and bureaucracy. Having said that, Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 284 be amended and requested amendment. Thank you. Amendment SB 0284-002-001 be posted and deemed read.
So ordered, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you'll look at your bill, that, in fact, just substitutes on page 1, line 25, where we strike the word is, insert the words may be. Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? There being no discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the amendment of Representative Fitzgerald. Those in favor of the amendment vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representatives Grief and Weatherwax have voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives voted aye. 2 have voted no.
Amendment 0284002001 has passed. Is there further discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Keogh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body.
I'm going to make sure today I get the bill number correct. I want to speak in opposition to Senate Bill 284. The thing that this bill and the bill I spoke against yesterday with the wrong number have in common is that they're asking the body to alter current practices to protect wildlife. And so you ask me, well, why would I care about this? And, you know, it's to make sure that my grandchildren and others can enjoy and continue the legacy that Montana has to protect our wildlife heritage. I know that the amendment changed the language a little bit, but Senate Bill 284 is allowing gravel mining within 6/10 of a mile from a sage grouse lick. It's, you know, this is the communal area in which male sage grouse perform their courtship behavior. And Montana needs to continue to work hard and work together to help keep sage grouse off the endangered species list. This bill is not a good step if we want the feds to think we take sage grouse seriously. We need to vote against Senate Bill, make sure I got it right, 284, to show that we care about our sage grouse population. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body.
Is there further discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Fielder.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, one thing we know about sage grouse reproduction is they don't use a lek 12 months out of the year. This bill could easily fit in under a seasonal use of those gravel pits, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the bill as amended, Representative Schillinger.
Mr. Chair, yes, this is not only a good bill, it's a great bill. Makes sense. We don't need to take taxpayer dollars that should go on our roads and pay state agencies to issue permits. We not only like our sage grouse, we love them to the tune of millions of dollars set aside to study it. And I think we need a green on this bill. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill as amended, Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just might point out to the good representative from Missoula that amendment was added by Senator Lang, who happens to be on the sage grouse program. And if you read it very carefully, it says located outside of core areas and at least 6/10 of a mile from the center of an active lek. So that's adding a protection, not taking it away. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the bill as amended, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, as being an recovering county commissioner, I've been there and done that. Two of us tried to go through a permit for DEQ, one graduate of each university in this state. We tried six times and couldn't get it done until we hired an engineer for $8,000. He walked across the street, they shook hands, and got it done. Counties have small pits. They have smaller trucks. They can't afford to truck 40 miles like these construction outfits do, so they have small pits scattered around the county to save taxpayers' money, and everybody likes smooth roads, I can assure you that. Go green.
There being no further discussion on the bill as amended, does the carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Fitzgerald that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 284, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 65 representatives voted aye. 35 have voted no.
Senate Bill 284 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 1. The clerk will read the title of the resolution.
Mr. Chair, Senate Joint Resolution 1, introduced by Smith, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana adopting the joint legislative rules. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Skeets?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had into consideration SJ1 and recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Representative Skeets.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee of the whole. The only changes in this bill, this is, of course, our joint rules, and if we pass this today and it gets okayed by the Senate, we'll finally get a cool new book for this cycle. I apologize that that's taken so long. But the only changes in this, as you look at page 4, lines 7 through 15, your House Rules Committee decided that we didn't want the COVID-19 response panel to have the authority to tell us if we could or could not be in this chamber, as many of us in the House think that that would be a violation of our constitutional rights. Second change in the bill is found on the bottom of page 13. This was struck out by the Senate beginning on line 27, the 30-70 appointment of interim committees. The Senate struck that out all the way to page 15, line 14, and then substituted in some of the new language for the some of the committees, because I think some of the committee names were slightly off. You'll notice that change continues on through page 16 through page 17, all the way down to 30-80 on page 18. The only other changes, again done by the Senate, is to be found on page 20, and this would be under subsection 40-40 bill requests. We switched it from 20 to 38 for the Speaker of the House, and the Minority Leader, we brought it up to 20. Those are the only changes in the House Joint Rules. I will stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the joint resolution? There being no discussion, does the carrier wish to close? The carrier has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Skeets that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 1 and recommend the same, do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 67 representatives have voted aye. 33 have voted no.
Senate Joint Resolution 1 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 7. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Joint Resolution 7, introduced by Wellborn, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana, urging the United States Congress to remove the Hidden Pasture Wilderness Study Area from further wilderness study designation. Mr. Chair?
What is your pleasure, Representative Walsh?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, that is recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Walsh.
Simple joint resolution brought to the House from the Senate to the House, urging the representatives of the state of Montana to the U.S. Congress to remove the Hidden Pasture Wilderness Study Area from further wilderness study designation. The Hidden Pasture Wilderness Study Area is in Beaverhead County, which is in my adjoining district. Of course, this is just one of the many wilderness study areas across the state of Montana. This wilderness study area has many attributes that make the designation questionable as laid out in the resolution. In fact, the BLM recommended that many years ago that this be removed, but no action has taken place. It is understood that this resolution does not have any binding effect, except it provides notification to our congressional delegation and to the citizens of Montana that the time has come for action on this and other wilderness study areas. Our Republican platform states in natural resource section that we support the release of current wilderness study areas, but this should not be a partisan issue. We need all stakeholders to come together to address not only this wilderness study area, but all those across our state to allow for multiple use management for the betterment of our social and economic viability. I urge a green and stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the resolution? Representative Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For you around here, last session, we did pass a resolution, a city bill, in fact, it was, to study the wilderness study areas and come to some solution. Well, over the interim, the Environmental Quality Council spent a considerable amount of time looking at the one key word here, and that's collaboration. And I appreciate the good representative from Twin Bridges who said that people need to get there and come to some type of solution. And so we really worked at finding a way to bring all the stakeholders who are involved in this wilderness study issue to the table and come to a resolution. Yes, we need to solve the wilderness study area issue. but we need to do it through a collaborative process. And I think the EQC did come to that assertion that that collaboration was the key element to make that happen. I wish the resolution was a little more assertive in dealing with this collaboration process and finding a resolution. You know, outside that, I have to say a red for me. But again, I really appreciate, you know, the good representative mentioned that that getting together, talking about how we're going to reach a resolution and not carve out one little area out of the wilderness study issue. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
There being no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Walsh that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 7 that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the resolution vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 68 representatives have voted aye, 32 have voted no.
Senate Joint Resolution has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 17. The clerk will read the title of the resolution.
Mr. Chair, Senate Joint Resolution 17, introduced by Bennett, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana, urging Congress to allow Montana to enact year-round daylight saving time. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Durham, back for a repeat appearance?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Number 17 resolution, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Why are you glutton for punishment, Representative? Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I always welcome any opponent on any mat. At concern that this is a sleight of hand from a prior excellent bill, I do have to admit that the senator that brought forth this resolution is much wiser than the representative speaking at this point in time. I often get lost in the whereas clauses on these resolutions and the concern of saying blah, blah, blah. It's important to go to line 22. Mr. Chair, with your permission and indulgence, I'd like to read those three whereas clauses. Whereas the Uniform Time Act did permit states to stay on standard time and not to observe daylight savings time, it did not permit states to stay on daylight savings time. Whereas only the United States Congress, through public law, or the Federal Department of Transportation, through regulation, may allow Montana to maintain year-round daylight savings time, and whereas recently 13 states, including Idaho, Wyoming, Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina, Utah, Arkansas, Delaware, Maine, Oregon, Tennessee, Washington, and Florida, have approved new laws providing for year-round daylight savings time if authorized by the United States. I'm not saying those 13 states got it right. I'm just saying, consider, please. On page 2 is really the meat of the resolution. First section 1. Montana should have the choice of adopting permanent daylight savings time. Currently, we don't have that choice. That's really what this resolution is. It's not about the argument about whether daylight savings is good or Mountain Montana standard time is better. It's just allowing us to have the choice or saying, please, Congress, give us the choice. The second portion, that the federal government should allow states to observe permanent daylight savings time through legislation in the United States of Congress or the adoption of a regulation through the United States Department of Transportation. That's what this resolution is. It's not whether daylight savings time is good or bad or Montana standard time is better or best. It just allows us to have the conversation next session or perhaps later this session about the process. So, members of the committee, if you would indulge me with a green vote to allow the choice of Montana to entertain a further discussion on Montana standard no, daylight savings time, because we, I do know you guys, most of you do like daylight savings time. Please consider a green vote.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Representative Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think that some of these legislators are in the dark on this, so please vote no.
Further discussion. Representative Nave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. I really want to stand in support of my good friend from the Highway Patrol and say that when I chose to run for this seat, my predecessor sat down with me and said the one issue that he got more calls and letters on than anyone was daylight savings time. Please vote yes.
Further discussion, Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did send out a flyer and asked my constituents what their choice was, and 2-1, it was daylight saving time. And I am so glad we converted Representative Durham to that idea. Vote green.
Further discussion, Representative Logie.
Mr. Chair, would the representative in seat number 95 yield to a question?
Will the representative yield?
Yes, I will.
Representative, I was wondering if this daylight savings time caught on, would it change milking time?
I don't think it changed milking time, no.
Further discussion, Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for the sponsor.
Will the sponsor yield to a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sponsor, if someone lived in Fairview and we went to this daylight savings, Fairview, Montana, how would the difference be with Williston if they don't change?
Mr. Chair, good representative, the view from Fairview is fair if you view it correctly. Time is respective to... I'm confused, Mr. Chair and Representative.
Representative, would you like to sing it?
Mr. Chair, if I could have a follow-up, please.
Does the carrier continue to yield?
I continue to be confused. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good representative, I see that the title of this joint resolution has clouded your perspective. But to clarify, if I lived in Laurel and Wyoming did not change, what would the difference in time be?
Mr. Chair, good representative.
Simple question.
Well, the law in Wyoming is ever-changing, as the law in Montana is. And this bill has nothing to do with that. This bill has only the option for us to further make a choice at some later time.
Mr. Chair, if I could just speak on the bill, I think asking questions to a cloudy person is difficult. Mr. Chair, I guess I was originally going to start off by saying I did not agree with the sponsor saying that the senator sponsor is smarter than the representative carrier, but he has proven me wrong. I was going to stand up for him. But my concern is if we do something like this, you know, those people that live anywhere near one of the border, our state borders, potentially could be 2 hours difference. And if people work across the state lines, we're going to be, I mean, we could have people's schedules. I mean, how would that work? You got to go to work at 4 a.m. instead of 6? I just have issues with our border towns, and we need to stay with our border states and see what they do. With that, I would say go red.
Further discussion, Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, question for Representative in seat 77.
Does the representative yield?
No.
Mr. Chair, I would remind the representative in seat 77 that if he were to look at the bill, or the Senate Joint Resolution 17, that we have listed on here in the whereas clause on line 26, Wyoming, and we have listed on line, also on line 26, Idaho. So the argument says, well, we need to look at the bordering states. I think we really do need to look at that and say, well, Idaho and Wyoming have both said, as this states, approve new laws providing for year-round daylight savings time, so that we are not, in fact, going against and causing an undue burden by actually commending this to our members and the delegation of Congress. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the bill. Representative Welch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the carrier.
Does the carrier yield?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good representative, would you consider a friendly amendment to move it half an hour and make everybody happy?
Thank you, good representative. Perhaps you heard an earlier discussion I entertained about us changing the clocks 3 minutes every day so that noon was always at high noon. But thank you. Thank you, representative.
Further discussion on the resolutions. Representative Seekins-Crowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The best thing about this bill, it no longer divides us by Republican, Democrat. It divides us by irritating morning people and night owls. Night owls unite. Vote green.
Further discussion on the bill. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Being that I'm from Montana and so close to North Dakota, it'll make it a little easier for us to take and figure the time, because Williston is an hour different than ours. And when I've got to take equipment to Williston at 8 o'clock in the morning, I got to leave at 5 in the morning. So this is making it a little better. Thank you.
There being no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I start, let me just express how much I appreciate everyone within this body. You guys do make my life better, so thank you. Thank you. I don't disagree about coordinating our time with our neighbor states. I think that's a good idea. And that's, by passing this bill, would allow us to coordinate with our neighboring states. As you can recall earlier, I said in the session, the value at the community fair of hugs and handshakes. I think this will get you hugs and handshakes at the county fair. So please vote green. Allow Montana to make the choice, or again, we're just petitioning Congress and DC to give us the authority to make this choice. So members of the committee, please vote green.
And members of the committee, thank you for not asking how this would correspond to the times in Canada. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Durham that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 17, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Other absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grief has voted aye. Representative Weatherwax has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 65 representatives voted aye. 35 have voted no.
Senate Joint Resolution, thank goodness, has passed second reading. The chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we are a committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 80 representatives have voted aye, 17 have voted no.
The Curry Report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Cheetah. Order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 90, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Create an Emergency Protective Services Hearing and CPS Removals.
House Bill 90, having been read three several times, question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 90 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 179, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Laws Related to Community Colleges.
House Bill 179, having been read three several times, question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 79 representatives have voted aye, 18 have voted no.
House Bill 179 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 331, introduced by Casey Knutson, a bill for an act entitled Requiring Legislators to Have Access to Adult and Youth Correctional Facilities.
House Bill 331, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
House Bill 331 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 333, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Laws Related to Sexual and Violent Offenders.
House Bill 333, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 94 representatives have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
House Bill 333 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 301, introduced by Manzella, a bill for an act entitled Provide Statewide Uniformity Regarding Wages Benefits for Political Subdivisions.
Senate Bill 301, having read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 65 representatives have voted aye, 32 have voted no.
Senate Bill 301 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 314, introduced by Brown, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Wolf Harvest.
Senate Bill 314, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 62 representatives have voted aye, 35 have voted no.
Senate Bill 314 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 337, introduced by Lang, a bill for an act entitled Revising Laws Related to Grizzly Bear Relocation.
Senate Bill 337, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 337 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 338, introduced by Lang, a bill for an act entitled Revised Civil Liability Laws.
Senate Bill 338, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 338 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 360, introduced by Lang, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revising Laws Related to Fisheries Management.
Senate Bill 360, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 71 representatives have voted aye, 26 have voted no.
Senate Bill 360 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Joint Resolution 8, introduced by Keith Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Resolution Supporting Keep 9 Amendment to U.S. Constitution.
Senate Joint Resolution 8, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate Joint Resolution 8 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Joint Resolution 10, introduced by Small, a bill for an act entitled Joint Resolution Urging Congress to Appropriate Funding for Carbon Capture.
Senate Joint Resolution 10, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 91 representatives have voted aye, 6 have voted no.
Senate Joint Resolution 10 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 63 by Representative Dooling. Bill was in House Business and Labor Committee. Bill title is Generally Revised Insurance Laws. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. The following members have been appointed: Representative Dooling, Majority Leader Vinton, and Representative Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 178 by Representative Beatty. Bill was in House State Administration Committee. Bill title is Revised Grant Dispersal Procedures for County Veterans Services Offices. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. The following members have been appointed: Representative Beatty, Representative Bertolio, Representative Running Wolf.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 555 by Representative Matt Regeer. Bill was in House Judiciary Committee. Bill title is Revised Civil Liability Laws on Personal Property Exempt from Execution. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. The following members have been appointed: Representative Matt Regeer, Representative Mercer, Representative Ferris Olson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a joint select committee on judicial transparency and accountability to meet with a like committee from the Senate. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. The following members have been appointed: Majority Leader Vinton, Representative Amy Regeer, Minority Leader Abbott. Without objection, we'll go to order of business number two, reports to standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, will your Committee on Appropriations recommend that Senate Bill 272 be concurred in as amended, signed Representative Lou Jones, Chair. Mr. Speaker, will your Committee on Judiciary recommend that Senate Bill 344, 365, 370 be concurred in, 318 be concurred in as amended, signed Representative Barry Escher, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
That objection will go to order business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Human Services will meet as soon as we have a quorum downstairs. One bill.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources will meet 172 as soon as we can make a quorum.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise for an announcement, a recognition, and a condemnation.
Would you like to be off the record now of the journal?
Actually, Mr. Speaker, if I may start over, I think that's what I'd like to do.
We can do that.
I rise to make an announcement, a recognition, and a commendation.
Would you still like to be off the record now of the journal?
No, I'd like to be on the record, if I may, for this one.
So ordered.
Thank you. This is I want to introduce someone who has been a tremendous public servant in the state of Montana for a long time. And I had an opportunity earlier in the session to talk a little bit about how I first got introduced to this floor in 1973. But the person I'm going to introduce actually was here 2 years voting over there in seat 65. He was freshly minted out of Montana State University, had been the student body president there. 2 years later, he was joined by the Speaker's grandfather and by someone who eventually rose to the U.S. Senate, Max Baucus. In 1975, he was elected to the State Senate, where he served for 20 years. And if you put the math to it, that means he was actually in the legislature 50 years ago from this session, which, as I understand, actually means that he beat Representative Keene in the door by 30 years, which is really saying something. He eventually served as Secretary of State for a term and was the Republican nominee for governor in 2004. Many people became acquainted with him from other community service, serving as a counselor at Boys State, serving as a speech coach, serving as a teacher in the public schools in Flathead County. And one of the things that I really commend you is he's done an oral history of the legislature by interviewing a number of people who have long since retired. Many, unfortunately, have now passed away, to essentially memorialize this body and the special characters that it has, the work that it's done, and the nature of the business. So on the 50th year of following, well, I'll state it better. He got here 50 years ago, and I think we should recognize that, commend him for his long public service, and that's my good friend Bob Brown from Flathead County.
Welcome to the House. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No House Taxation Committee tomorrow morning. However, Friday morning, House Taxation, 7:30 a.m., 4 EAs. Thank you.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd request we off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of a birthday announcement.
So ordered.
For our favorite minority leader, who is another year younger. It's day 71. She's still here. Happy birthday, Kim.
Happy birthday. Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy today, 3:45.
Representative Dunwell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. Point of personal privilege, please.
State your point.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I regret that our minority leader was not recognized during second reading when she stood to be recognized. Now, hopefully it was an oversight on the part of the chair of the day's part, but still, on her birthday, no less. So, with that, I'd like to lead a round of happy birthday. All right? Yes.
Representative,
one, two, three.
No songs on the House floor. I hate to be like the former president, but I am going to draw a line there.
Really?
I apologize to the minority leader, but we can catch her in the hall and sing to her.
All right, I'll hold you to that, Mr.
Songs on the floor.
Representative Phelan.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for purpose of an introduction.
Sword.
Up here in the gallery, I have neighbors and good friends besides Jim and Norma Riley from Terry, Montana.
Welcome to the House. Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation, 5 minutes after adjournment of the body.
Representative Fitzgerald.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just an advance warning, we've got a short meeting of House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks tomorrow, 3 p.m., room 172. And don't forget to get with your vice chairs on the committee dinner for tomorrow night. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No House State Administration meeting tomorrow.
Representative Nolan.
6:30 tomorrow morning, members. Please be there early. We have a lot of work to do. But Business and Labor is going to meet at 8:30.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, the Joint Select Committee on Judicial Transparency and Accountability will be meeting Friday at 4 p.m., room to be determined. And, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn and reconvene at 1 p.m. Thursday, the 72nd legislative day.
You've heard the motion, Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House will reconvene on 1 p.m. Thursday, April 15th. The House is adjourned.